raised in a small town and not terribly wealthy, well, average income, maybe below average income families, and went to high school together, met in the first grade. Can you believe that? And fell in love in high school and got married while I was in college, and it's been a wild ride, baby. When we got born again, our life turned around. I mean, I'm not going to describe what we were like before we were born again, because you know what we were like before we were born again. You were the same way. But Jesus cleanses and restores and gives you a new start, and hallelujah, thank you for Jesus. I don't know what I have to share with you today. I could share all kinds of things, but this is a wonderful, wonderful church, whether you realize it or not. The presence of God is here. You've got pastor and his wife, or co-pastors. I don't know if you call yourself co-pastors or pastor and wife, whatever. They love you, and they pray for you, and they're concerned for you, and they want to help you all they can. And not every church is that way. There's some churches where the pastors are more interested in their own ministry than they are the people that come to church. And that's a sad thing to have to say, but it seems as though it's been true in our generation. But you are blessed. You have wonderful singers, wonderful choir. You're focused on the resurrected Jesus Christ. You're not focused on this new doctrine or that new doctrine. And sometimes these doctrines come out as new, and they're all right. They're good. But no doctrine is a suitable substitute for Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And you do here. All of your pastors and all of your music team, they keep focusing all of us on the resurrected Jesus Christ. And you're blessed. So I guess I don't have much to say to you. Thanks for letting me come today. No. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. Did you celebrate Easter here? Has it worn off yet, or is it still here? Yeah, well, growing up, Easter was a time in our culture, in our family, and maybe in yours as well, for new clothes and new shoes. I mean, you had to go to Easter Sunday morning service with new clothes on. That's just the way it was. That was, I don't know if you did that, but that's what we did. And even though we weren't wealthy, that's when I got, and every Easter I got new shoes. Now, I grew up just having two pair of shoes. Maybe some of you had none at all, and that's okay, but this is my life I'm talking about. So I just had two pair of shoes. And every Easter I'd get a new pair of shoes, and they would become my Sunday shoes. Only Sunday would I wear those shoes, because they were new. And my old Sunday shoe would become my everyday shoes. And the old everyday shoes, partly worn out and too small, would be cast off. So I still, you know, even though I got new shoes every year, I only had two pair of shoes. Could never gain on that until, I mean, even after we were married, two pair of shoes, one pair of shoes for work, one pair of shoes for Sunday, just two pair of shoes, man, that's all I was. And I don't know about you, but two pair of shoes made Easter dim. Did you ever notice when you get a new pair of shoes, you walk differently? Especially when you're a kid, man. Little kids with new shoes, they make it known. They got new shoes, man. They walk as though there's something precious down there. And it changes our image of ourselves when we have new shoes. And I had new shoes every Easter. Did any of you get new shoes on Easter? Oh, several of you did. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. That first Easter Sunday, Mary Magdala, Peter, John, other disciples, came to the tomb to finish the embalming job for Jesus. Peter and John came along to carry the 150 pounds of spices necessary to finish the embalming job. And they came with shoes of hopelessness, shoes of despair, shoes of confusion. And they came, they were shoes of dedication, shoes of love for Jesus, but certainly not shoes of faith. They were shoes of, well, yeah, they had shoes of faith. They had great faith he was dead. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come to finish the embalming job. So they came with these shoes and looked down at the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. And young John, teenage John, ran ahead, and Peter, the older disciple, came lumbering along, probably a little bit overweight, I don't know, and boldly went into the tomb where Jesus had been laid, and he was not there. Peter and John and the other disciples went back to the upper room with shoes of despair, shoes of confusion, shoes of disappointment. But Mary stayed on shoe shopping. She wanted to get rid of those shoes of disappointment. She was looking for shoes of closure. She was looking for shoes of understanding. And so she stayed around doing some shoe shopping. And she met the gardener and she said, "Gardener, what have you done with his body?" And Jesus it was she was talking to. And he spoke her name. And Mary instantly got a new pair of shoes. Shoes of joy, shoes of hope, shoes of expectation, shoes of happiness. Running shoes. She ran back to the upper room and tried to explain to all the disciples that she had seen Jesus in the garden tomb area. They wouldn't believe her. They still were wearing their shoes of unbelief, their shoes of disappointment, their shoes of despair. Meanwhile, Jesus joined two men with their walking shoes on the road to Emmaus. Walking home, they were finished. That was interesting and exciting, but didn't turn out to be true. So there, with their shoes of disappointment, they were walking back to their home in Emmaus. And Jesus joined the two, as you remember, the Bible says. And when Jesus broke the bread, suddenly their eyes were open. And they put on their new shoes. They put on their running shoes of hope and excitement and faith. They put on their shoes of reality of Jesus in their life. And they ran back to the upper room and joined with Mary to persuade the other disciples. They still didn't want to give up their old shoes. Their old comfortable shoes of unbelief. Their own old comfortable shoes. The ones that had so long and just felt so good. And they don't need new shoes, you know. And then Jesus walked in to the midst of them. Everybody was there but Thomas. And the moment Jesus walked in, he gave them all a new pair of shoes. Shoes of faith and hope and excitement and joy. Shoes of reality of God. Shoes of the reality of the resurrected Jesus. But Thomas hadn't been there, so he was still wearing his old shoes of unbelief. His old shoes of, unless I put my finger into the nail prints of his hand and put my hand into his side, I'm going to wear these shoes of unbelief. I'm not going to believe. Eighth day, Thomas is there. Jesus walks through the closed door once again. And in an instant, Thomas, the one we call doubting Thomas, the one that Jesus called believing Thomas. Maybe we need to change our description of Thomas. Put on a little different pair of shoes for him. The instant Jesus walked into that upper room on the eighth day, Thomas got his new shoes of faith and hope and belief and joy that Jesus was alive. Did you get your new shoes yet? Did you get your shoes of hope? We're not talking about whether or not you're a Christian. We're talking about having become a Christian and worn these shoes of faith and hope, but sometimes shoes that didn't produce. Didn't get our healing as quickly as we should have. Didn't get the job that we needed. Just got weary in our well-doing. Time to retire. Stop trying to make our lives fruitful. We've been content to put on those comfortable shoes of no objective in life. Those comfortable shoes of, I'm soon to be retired and I may live 10 years after that and so on, and then I go home to my reward. And these are not the shoes that Jesus wants us to be wearing. Jesus wants us to be wearing shoes of hope and joy. I'm here this morning to tell you that you got new shoes. It's Easter time again. It's resurrection time. And Jesus has shoes for you, shoes of hope and expectation, shoes of the reality of the resurrected Jesus. The Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of him upon the mountain who take the good news. You've got beautiful feet. It was interesting. I've had my shoes changed several times. When I was born again, I had not a very colorful illustration, but it's a fact, and it's what Jesus did for me. So here it is. I had terminal athlete's feet. Well, you laugh. How can that be terminal? Well, I got double infection, and had it not been taken care of, they probably would have amputated a foot or something. I don't know. But I had incurable athlete's feet. And I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and began to hear about healing. I wasn't too sure whether it was for everybody, but I hadn't gone to Bible school yet, so now I know God wants to heal everybody. But I'd sit on the edge of my bed, and I'd say, Holy Ghost, go down my legs and heal my feet. And I'd feel the Holy Ghost run down my legs and into my feet. And over a period of time, I just said, Holy Ghost, go down there and heal my feet. I don't have athlete's feet anymore. You couldn't give me athlete's feet anymore. I don't want athlete's feet. I put on shoes of healing for my feet. And then got called to the ministry, left my prosperous engineering job, pastored a church of about 25 people on Sunday morning. Certainly they're not going to make you wealthy. They took care of us. God bless them and thank them for their sacrifice. But we didn't get rich pastoring that church. And I was still wearing two pairs of shoes, one good pair for Sunday and one everyday pair. And a pastor came to visit us, a man that was a secondary acquaintance of ours, and he had visited another pastor who had been prosperous. And this other pastor said, I've got several pairs of nice shoes I want to give you, and you give them to anybody you want to give them to or use them yourself, whatever. Well, this other pastor came to our house, and he had three pair of nearly new Florsheim shoes, and he gave them to me, and they were the right size. I was getting new shoes. God was making my feet beautiful because he called me to preach the gospel on the mountain. God wants to give us all new shoes. Shoes of prosperity, shoes of hope, shoes of boldness, shoes of taking the gospel to the lost and dying world. And then I was, a few months later, was painting the house. Gray shingle house with white trim. And I was just finishing the white trim, had the ladder propped up at the corner of the house. And the ladder gave way, and I literally left a white stripe down a gray shingle house. Because I suddenly got a death grip on that paintbrush as though it was going to save me. Hit the ground and wrecked both ankles. Oh, tried to get up. I mean, I was so proud of myself. When I hit the ground, I shouted out, praise God, praise God. I wasn't praising God because I got injured. I was in the midst of the trauma. My heart instantly went to Jesus. I was so proud of myself. I mean, months earlier, before I was born again, I filled the neighborhood with blue words. But I'd gotten new shoes. Shoes of salvation, shoes of eternal life. And I fell down that ladder, wrecked both ankles, tried to get up, passed out. The neighbor, whose son was a pharmacist, had some smelling salts, so they brought me back. And I crawled up the front steps to the old house that we were buying and sat in the living room, believing that I would go to work the following morning. It happened on a Thursday night, and going to go to work on Friday. My wife got a big pan of ice water, and I soaked my feet. They still hurt terribly. Crawled up the steps to go to bed that night, slept that night, woke up the next morning, and both ankles were about the size of a cantaloupe. Not grapefruit, but cantaloupe. I mean, they were swollen up. Both of my feet were just 50, 60% black from blood clots and so on. Couldn't walk on them, terribly painful. Crawled backwards downstairs to have breakfast. Claimed that I was going to go to work on Monday. Well, I figured I better go to the doctor. So, well, no. Monday came, and no better. So I figured I better go to the doctor since it should be in work and can't get there. So I hobbled into the doctor, very painfully. But how many of you have ever seen Tim Conway's gray-haired old man, how he walks? That's how I was, 34 years old, 33. How old was I? 33 years old, walking like Tim Conway's gray-haired old man. I walked into the doctor's office, and the doctor said, "I sure hope they're broken." "You hope they're broken?" He said, "Yeah, I was in the Air Force, and I haven't seen ankles like that since I was in the Air Force, and a guy would jump out, and his parachute wouldn't open." And he said, "They healed a lot quicker if they're broken." Says, "If they're not broken, your ankles will be in casts for at least 9 months, maybe a year." Said, "I'm going to give you some pills to take the swelling down, and then you come back in, and we'll put your ankles in casts, and we'll see what we can do." Well, he gave me the pills. The swelling went down. I didn't go back to put casts on my ankles. I just believed God. My wife and I took a little vacation, went down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I sat in the motel porch with my feet propped up on the railing and just believed God for healing. Found out, however, in the process, why a lot of people don't always get their healing, because I was walking on crutches, and I found out I would go into a cafeteria line, and instantly they'd take me to the front of the line because I was on crutches. I could step off the curb with crutches any place, and traffic would stop for miles because I was on crutches. Had I not been on crutches, they'd have put me on them, And I discovered why, people who have handicaps need attention, and we give them attention, but it becomes a comfortable way in some way. And I'm not saying that everybody who's handicapped is that way. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying there's a psychological thing involved here that keeps you from putting on shoes of healing sometimes. Okay, we came back home on crutches. I went to work the next week. The second week went back to work without crutches. Haven't put crutches on yet. God progressively healed my feet. How beautiful are the feet of him upon the mountain who take the good news. I now have in my cupboard more shoes than I'd like to share with you. Nice shoes, really good shoes. I mean, I've got 3 or 4 pair of everyday shoes, and I've got shoes that I travel with that are comfortable for walking through airports, and I've got shoes that I preach with. These are really nice shoes, expensive shoes. I don't pay full price for shoes. I always get them on sale. I've gotten $150 shoes for $29. Because God wants my feet to be nice looking. He wants your feet to be nice looking. Not just for the sake of your feet, but when you got nice looking feet, you walk differently. You talk differently. You have a confidence that you don't have if your shoes are worn down and got holes in them and you can't afford to get them repaired or anything. You need to believe God for a good pair of shoes. You need to say, "God, you need to make my feet beautiful." Everybody say, "I'm going to have beautiful feet." Jesus has a new pair of shoes for me. I don't believe it. I don't get it. You're just saying it because I ask you to. Well, as soon as you say it because you really believe it, it'll happen. You can say it because I ask you to, and that's nice and that's polite, and I thank you for doing that. Except that if your heart's not in it, God didn't hear it, and whatever God can't hear, God's hard pressed to do. You got to learn how to speak to your mountainous problems and cast them into the sea. You've got to speak to your shoes of poverty. You've got to speak to your shoes of unbelief about healing. You've got to speak to your shoes of discouragement. You've got to speak to your lack of vision. You've got to talk to your mountainous problems with a whole heart, just like your pastor was saying. You can say it out of your mouth, but unless it comes out of your heart, it's hard for God to hear it. Oh, I love this special music that this precious lady sang before us. I surrender all. Oh, my. If there's anything the body of Christ needs in this generation, it's I surrender all. We've come to God saying, God, what are you going to surrender for me? And God said, well, all I ask you to do is surrender all to me. And we've not understood there is a surrender all involved in the gospel. Because until you're willing to surrender your feet and go where God wants you to go. Brethren, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be transformed by the renewing of your shoes, that you might prove was that a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Walking shoes. God wants to give us walking shoes. He wants us to be obedient to Him. He wants us to wear shoes of submission to God. Hallelujah. But I assure you that He's got shoes for every occasion. He's got waffle sole shoes for climbing over the mountains. He's got lightweight, well-supporting track shoes for running the race. He's got steel-toed shoes for the work of the gospel, so that when somebody steps on your toes, it doesn't hurt. Anybody ever had your toes stepped on working for Jesus? Sure you have. Everybody does. Hallelujah. We're talking about the conversion of the soul realm. We're especially talking about your emotions being yielded to the Holy Ghost. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's the first job of the Holy Ghost to convert our negative emotional experiences in life to positive, joyful, hopeful, expectant experience in our heart. Yes, when you get born again, He makes you new creatures in Christ Jesus. He gives you the gift of righteousness. You have the gift of grace. You have the gifts of the Spirit. All of these things are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And as we believe God and stand on the Word, He does His best to bring these things to pass. But if our soul realm is not in agreement with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then God has a hard time bringing these things to pass. Now, sometimes God just does flat out miracles. There's no doubt about it. We can ask God for miracle working shoes, and He'll give them to us. That's right. But in order to do so, we got to put off a lot of natural understanding. Because if we don't believe that God can do something, it's hard for Him to do it through us. We were watching a Sid Roth television program. Now, I don't know if you think Sid Roth is good or bad or indifferent. I don't care what you think about Sid Roth. I'm not his disciple. I just happen to identify. We were watching this Christian program. And he had on there a pastor. And this pastor was giving a testimony about praying for a young man who obviously had the dwarf syndrome. You understand what I mean by that? His head was the right size for his age, but he was short for his age, and especially his forearms were foreshortened for his age. Obviously, he had the dwarf syndrome. Well, this pastor put off his understanding, put off his unbelief, and just in the name of Jesus, he just said, grow, and left it at that. Within 2 days, this young man grew 2 inches. And within a month, he grew 6 inches. Why do I believe it? Because he had video of this young dwarf boy being prayed for by the pastor, and he had video 30 days later of this young boy, obviously the same face, the same head, but his arms weren't foreshortened anymore. It was video documentation. That's why I can share it with you. God did a miracle, and he used a man to do it. But you don't often run onto people who are dwarfs. But you run onto people with other problems. Epilepsy. I remember the first time I prayed for somebody who had epilepsy. That was a tough one for me. I had shoes that weren't too sure that God could use me, at least. We were in Germany in 1976, ministering at the Glaubenszentrum school there. Sunday afternoon, I preached on healing, had an altar call. We prayed for a lot of people who had pain. The pain went away. And a young man with his son came to me. He said, "Pray for my son. He has epilepsy." I smiled outwardly, and inwardly, my shoes were telling me, "You may not be able to do this one." So I laid hands on this young man, 7, 8 years old, commanded that spirit of epilepsy to come out of him, and nothing happened. I looked at the father and said, "I believe your son's been delivered." Left. Went up to Finland. Had an altar call for healing in Finland. Went down the line, casting out pain. Things are working well. Came to a young lady. "What's your problem?" She said, "I have epilepsy." And I smiled again and said, "Oh, you devil." Laid hands on her and started to command that devil to come out of her. And she began to have an epileptic fit. I said, "Devil, you shut up and come out of her." And she burped. I don't go around teaching you have to burp to get rid of demons, but I'm just telling you how it worked. She burped, and that encouraged me that she'd been delivered. Said hallelujah and went back to Germany. 8 weeks had gone by. Preached again. Had another altar call for healing. After the prayer was over, the young father came to me with his son again. I said, "Oh, here he comes. Wants to be prayed for again." I was still wearing those shoes of unbelief about epilepsy. He said, "Do you remember praying for my son 8 weeks ago?" "Yes." He said, "At that time he was having epileptic seizures every 4 weeks, just as regular as clockwork. 8 weeks have gone by and he has had no seizures since you prayed for him." I said, "Hallelujah," and put on shoes of belief that God can use me. God can use you. You just have to make sure you've got shoes of belief. Amen. This pastor who prayed for the dwarf boy that grew 6 inches, he was asked, "How is it that God could use you this way?" He said, "Well, I spend 2 hours a day in prayer." And he said, "An hour of that is praying in the Holy Ghost." And he said, "I don't believe that I have prayed until I lose consciousness of myself." Saints, this is a challenge to you. You're doing well. You believe Jesus is the Lord of your life. You've experienced healing. God is prospering some of you. Things are going well in your spiritual life. But I challenge you, surrender all. Be willing to take the time. Be willing to yield your heart. Be willing to put on some new shoes that are going to take you to another level of fruitfulness. Not another level of spirit realm being. You've already reached the level that God has made available to us now. You're not going to be a better Christian than somebody else, but you might be a more fruitful Christian if you're willing to surrender all and put on these shoes. Oh, God can only use full-time ministers for miracles. Well, you got the wrong shoes on, honey. You need to put on those shoes. "These signs shall follow those that are called to the full-time ministry." No, "These signs shall follow those that believe." Cast out demons. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Raise the dead? Where in the Bible is raising the dead become an exception? Dr. Kaiser, you are a radical. I don't know if we need to have you back in this church again if you're going to tell us all that we could be raising the dead. Yes, you can be. You are a Christian. Jesus is the Lord of your life. You've been born again, cleansed by the blood, made a new creature in Christ Jesus, given the gift of righteousness. You have a right standing relationship with God the Father, and He sent the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, to dwell in you. And that's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And the only thing keeping Him from using you to raise the dead is your unbelieving shoes. Hey, we have the world tell us all the time that death is final. We have the world tell us all the time that sickness is always the precursor to death. These are lies of the devil. These are lies of the world. We've got to put off those shoes of unbelief. We've got to read our word and believe it is true. Jesus said, cast out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. All in the same breath. I challenge you, surrender all. Go shoe shopping. Get out there. Say, God, you got more for me. Everybody say, God's got more for me. You don't believe it. Say it again. Everybody say, God's got more for me. Oh, hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Get happy about it. Oh, yes. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know what would happen in this city, in this state, if this congregation put on shoes of miracle working? Put on shoes of salvation. Put on shoes of deliverance. And begin to walk the streets and let God direct you and see God do miracles. This church would blossom. People would come running to this church. The unsaved would come saying, I can't get rid of this addiction. How can you help me? The unsaved would come saying, the doctors told me that I'm dying of cancer. Can you help me? The doctor's saying that they're going to commit me. Can you help me? The doctor's saying, the lawyers say. This church already has a reputation in this town. You might as well justify it. You might as well confirm that you're radicals. You might as well confirm that Jesus is the Lord of your life and the world is not going to influence you any longer. You might as well confirm to this city and this state that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Everybody stand up. Everybody raise one foot and say, I got new shoes. Come on, raise the other foot and say, I got new shoes. Are there shoes of joy? There are shoes of healing? There are shoes of miracle working? Come on, walk back and forth and say, I got new shoes. I got new shoes. Come on, say, I got new shoes. I got new shoes. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like your new shoes. I like your new shoes. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise
God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God, breathe. There you go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that you enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. Amen. New shoes. Glory to God. I think you're not only, you know, they're here for you to put on, and I know you did. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated.